Good evening, brothers and sisters. This evening, I wanted to consider the topic of the adopted child of God. So let us begin with a short word of prayer. Almighty God, as we consider your words and what you want to tell us, we pray that you grant us understanding and you will help us, Lord, to be encouraged by the sharing of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This evening, I wanted to consider the topic of the adopted child of God, and I wanted to begin by saying that our God, our only wise God, has given us many different examples of everyday life to better understand the relationship that we have with Him. Jesus tells us that He's the bread of life, He's the living water, He's also the good shepherd, and each of these things, there is an associated connotation or understanding that we can better understand Him by. But one of the most beautiful illustrations that God has given us is the fact that we are also His children, as He is our Father. And this is made clear in several portions of Scripture. But in particular, I'd like to highlight tonight Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, which says that having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And the illustration of a child to a father is perhaps one of the most easily recognizable relationships in our lives. The reason for that is all of us are either a father ourselves, or even if we are not a father, we are a child of a father. And so we know the love that a father has for the child. We see it in the glow on his face when the child enters the room, the beam on his face when his child does well at school. We see it in him always wanting the best for his child and sacrificing for the child. And really, the child himself or herself also understands how much their father loves them or him or her. But even then, the Bible tells us, God's word tells us, that the love of a father for his child cannot be compared to the love that God has for his children. Matthew chapter 7 tells us that if ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And really, even though God uses the earthly father and child as a model for helping us understand his love for us, even that model is the best we can understand it, but it's imperfect compared to his perfect love for us. Now, having considered this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 not only tells us that we are a child of God, but that we are an adopted child of God. And so one must consider, what is the Apostle Paul trying to convey here through the Holy Spirit in telling us that not only are we a child, but we are an adopted child? What additional information does this confer? And there are three things perhaps that it confers. Firstly, it reminds us of the stark contrast of our life before and our life after our adoption. You see, just like the earthly adopted child, before we were adopted by God, we were in a position of insufficiency, in a position of where we lack resources. There was no ever-present fatherly figure always wanting the best for us. But now things are different. If our life before could have been summarized as being without strength, now it is with strength. Now we have resources from an infinite God. Now we are sufficient in Christ. And now we have an ever-present figure that continually looks out for our well-being, both now and forever. And so this the first thing that the term adoption confers is that it allows us to better understand our position before and after. It reminds us of what we had before and what we have now, or more accurately, what we did not have before and what we have now. The second idea that the term adoption confers is that our current status as adopted children of God is by grace and grace alone. You see, if we were natural children of God, we would inherently assume that We are entitled to all these great blessings that he's currently giving us. But by telling us we are adopted, it reminds us that everything that is bestowed upon us is by grace, by the goodwill and the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. And the third idea that adoption confers is that we did not choose God, but he chose us. Much as we like to have thought that we chose God, actually, we reminded time and time again that he actually chose us. That's clear in the verse preceding Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, when he tells us that we are predestinated before the foundations of this world. It's made clear in John chapter 15, verse 6, when we read that Jesus says that you did not choose me, but I chose you. And really, it is quite similar to the earthly adoption, especially for an infant child, where he plays no part in the choosing of his adoptive parents, but rather the adoptive parents exercises their choice in choosing this child. Now, we don't understand why God chose us, but we are so grateful that he did. Having understood these three points, are we able to further our understanding of what an adopted child of God is through the cultural context of the text? If we remember that the letter to the Church of Ephesus was written during the Roman Empire. And the answer is yes, because many at the Church of Ephesus were familiar with Roman society at that time, the cultural norms and the social setup. They would have immediately understood the status of the legally adopted child within the Roman Empire. You see, in Roman society, the adopted child was characterized by three characteristics. Firstly, his old life was cancelled out, the old debts were cancelled out, and he assumed a new identity. Secondly, he began a new life in the adoptive family and was allowed to have all the privileges that the new adoptive family had. And thirdly, the adoptive child in the Roman Empire had legal rights on the death of his father, adoptive father, to be a co-heir with equal measure of inheritance with the natural children to his father's estate. This can be seen quite clearly even amongst the royalty in the Roman Empire, where one Caesar after another was the adopted child of the previous or preceding Caesar. And it goes to show that the adoptive system in the Roman society was very well established, legally, socially, and culturally. Similarly, when we become an adopted child of God, the adoption highlights three further important changes for us. That firstly, our old life and debt is cancelled out. Secondly, we inherit great spiritual blessings from God. And thirdly, we are co-heirs with his natural son, Jesus Christ. Let us first consider the fact that our old life and our debt is cancelled out. This is actually a staggering thought, because if you think about it, how can a thrice holy God, a God whom no man may look upon his face and live, look upon us as if we were righteous and have all our unrighteousness just cancelled out like that? And the only reason why this is possible is because God made an exchange using his natural son, Jesus Christ. And in that exchange, he looks upon us as if we lived the life of Christ, even though we didn't live that life. And he looks upon Christ as if he lived our unrighteous life. And so Christ, his natural son, had to suffer for our sakes. This is made clear in 2 Corinthians 5:21. When we read that he was made sin for us who knew no sin, so that we may have the righteousness in him. And so we are so grateful that Christ has done this for us. But now we are going to march on, because our old life is cancelled out, our old debt is cancelled out, and we assume a new identity in Christ. The next change that we have that parallels the Roman adoption system is that we inherit all the privileges of being a natural child of God. And these are the great spiritual blessings mentioned across the whole counsel of God and in scripture. And it's really amazing to imagine being a child of the Almighty God. And there are many passages that talk about these great spiritual blessings, but I'd like to highlight perhaps one passage that has many of these blessings mentioned. In Romans chapter 5, we read that as an adoptive child of God, we have peace with God. You know, before we were enemies with God, but now we have that peace because it's mediated by His Son. We have unfettered access to the Almighty, and no one else can say that, 24/7. We have a hope that no one else in the world has. And you know, no matter what happens to us, you know, we know what will happen to us eventually by the grace of God. We can say that we can glory in tribulations. This is something that, you know, it is difficult to say, but it's the truth that even when tribulations come, compared to the world, we can smile at the storm because we know that everything that happens to us is for our good, and that what awaits us at the other side is glory. And we can also say that we are able to share that agape love of God with others because we have seen that agape love ourselves and experiencing Christ's love for us. We also have joy, despite our circumstances. And these great spiritual blessings equip us for this life ahead. Finally, in parallel with the Roman adoption system, we are also co-heirs with his natural son. Again, this is a staggering thought. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says that if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. It is staggering because what that means is that we are going to inherit an equal portion of Christ's inheritance. That is so incredible. What is Christ going to inherit? He's going to inherit everything. Everything. And that is something that we can't even imagine. But it is even more staggering to think that after subjecting the natural Son of God to such a horrendous experience because of our unrighteousness, that we will go on then to inherit an equal share of what he already would have inherited. How much does God love us when he does this for us? And therefore, we can say that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So let us be encouraged with all these great promises from God. I just want to make a mention here that, you know, God has taken care of us throughout our entire journey. When he cancels out our old life and debt, that is the past. When he gives us great spiritual blessings, that is the present. And when he promises us to be a co-heir with his natural son, that is the future. So the next time we read a verse which tells us that we are an adopted child of God, let us reflect and spend a little moment to remember its connotations. That being a child reminds us of that sacrificial love that God has for us that we see in our own parents. That by being adopted, it reminds us of our state before and our state now. That this adoption is not deserved, but is by the grace of the adopting father. And it reminds us that we did not choose him, but he chose us. That our old debt is wiped away. And that we now receive great spiritual blessings as his adopted child. And that we can look forward to an inheritance equal to that of Christ himself. God, by his wisdom, gives us just two words to allow us to understand all these great things. We must remember that all this did not come easy. It came at a great cost to God. God had to suffer the pain of seeing his own natural son suffer in order to adopt us unto himself, to allow both perfect justice and perfect love to happen. And we know that God suffered because we understand this being parents ourselves. We know what it would feel like for our own child to suffer and to watch this child suffer. But having been adopted by him, now we can call him Abba Father. So now knowing what he has done for us, what else is left for us to do and to live our lives for him, our Heavenly Father? So that concludes what I'd like to share tonight. Let me end, please, with a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you have done for us, Lord. We were a helpless infant, but before the foundations of the world, you foresaw this, and you took us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we can never repay you. We can never understand what you went through and what your son went through for us. But we thank you that now we can live life with confidence, both in this life and the next. And we look forward one day to seeing you in your full glory and worshiping you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.